Okay, that brings us to our last item of other business, which is a discussion of sub-regional planning.
And Mr. Chairman, this is something that I request to be placed on the agenda as a discussion item.
Yes, you did.
And I had intended to come in with all kinds of materials to give you all, but I wore myself out on my Nathaniel's Landing. But anyhow, that aside, and those materials aren't essential. But this came about from some meetings that I attended in Lewis as a private citizen. And I made it clear that I was representing Peninsula Financial Group as the president of that fine organization. Okay. That does insurance and taxes and investments. Oh, that's an ad. Anyhow, the
one
meetings,
convenient location, probably not near you.
Okay, that's right. And I've refrained from giving out cards and brochures, but anyhow, in attendance was a variety of individuals representing a variety of agencies while I was there as a private citizen. And that included folks from the Office of State Planning Coordination and the cities of Rehoboth, Dewey, and Lewis, and included developers, as well as other private citizens like myself. One of the things I will say that came out of it that was blatant was our need for our land use planner again, because certainly that's something that our previous planner would attend as an official representative of the county and could provide insights to us as a commission. But among other matters that was brought up and was suggested for future action was to have a meeting or meetings with the various planning and zoning commissions from being our body as well as that of Rehoboth, Dewey, and Lewis, because of the sub-regional planning discussions that were taking place for the Cape region. And of course, since that was above my pay grade, I said, well, I would at least approach the commission to see what would be the proper procedure for us to make such a request if the county council deemed it appropriate for us to do so. But I'm very mindful of our land use plan, which encourages intergovernmental coordination. And while, yes, those cities do have the opportunity through the PLUS process to make comments on projects that might impact on them, I think it would be a sound land use planning process if we did have some meetings with these folks. The meetings that I had attended were held at the University of Delaware College of Marine and Earth Studies, I added on to it. But anyhow, they've had at least three meetings. They're hoping to be able to continue in some fashion, but I think as an offshoot of that, I agree that I think one of the good things would be if we did have a meeting with other commissioners. I know in years past we attended some workshops up in Dover that were put on by the University of Delaware, and I know a fellow in the back was going to give me some information on that because they still have those meetings, but since we don't have a land use planner, we haven't been made aware of those events. Remember?
You remember.
Okay. And I assume that's why you folks are here. You were interested in hearing what we're going to talk about, but that's the bottom line. Is there an interest with my fellow commissioners to have such a joint meeting? And if so, then I'd like to find out what's the best way to make that happen. From the county standpoint,
I think first you have to commission should we can do it in form of memorandum to Dave Baker on behalf of the council and get the council's opinion if they want us to desire to go in that direction.
Yeah, I would say that's a county
First, yeah, that's the first thing I wanted to say.
I'm not discouraging it, but I think it needs to be a council level decision.
It isn't something we can decide to do.
Right.
We, you know, and I know you know that.
I'm trying to gauge the interest.
We're just trying to find interest and see what some folks' thoughts are. I actually, if you would indulge me, and if Ms. Holland would be so kind as to come up and give us, if you would, or Brian, of course.
I yield to the smarter person in the room, sir. But thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I want to start with a very basic question. Okay. What is sub-regional planning?
Sub-regional planning is being done throughout the state and is in your comprehensive plan that you've certified.
I understand.
You all said that this evening.
What does it mean to you? I mean, I know what it is, and okay. I know it's in our plan, but what does it mean to you? What's it mean?
That the application, just the area, in fact, encompasses not just Sussex County, but let's say Sussex County and Georgetown. Or Sussex County, in the case of Milford, we're doing a sub-regional plan. We're calling it master plan. We'd like everybody to call it master plan because then, you know, we all speak in this language that some people don't understand and they'd like to know what it is. But it's a planning effort that encompasses more than one government. And I think if we've learned anything in the past years is that we all rely on one another, especially in a state that the state pays so much of the roads and the schools and for the infrastructure. Right now, you're being asked by a commissioner, which I think is very wise, to work with your local jurisdictions. I think you have six or seven areas delineated in your comprehensive plan for these sub-regional plans. But I'm going to give you an example that's ongoing. Milford actually did a huge annexation east of SR1, and I was chastised for saying that was a wise thing to do. I thought it was a wise thing to do because some of the area was in Sussex County, and I'm going to say that publicly, and some of it was in the Kent County jurisdiction and also in Milford. Milford was looking for an educational center, another area for some economic development, and another area for options of housing, plus preservation. Slaughter Speech was scared to death of any growth that was going to be encroached, maybe the 2 units per acre. We actually talked to you as the Sussex County Council, and you said that's not an area we're looking to sewer or put more fire companies in that area. It's not really our district or the police. So through this master planning effort or sub-regional planning effort, we've all come together, the town of Milford, Kent County, and Sussex, with the residents, and done a plan that gives predictability for anybody moving into that area, plus is huge for economic development because when that master plan is done, you could be shovel ready. I.G. Burton, who's been through this, his father was through me several times, would not have to sit in my office at 7:30 in the morning and wonder when his building permit was going to be done and where the sewer was, when it was going to be connected and where the scenarios are. The hard work is done ahead of time by this planning area that we all delineate together. You know, where you find out where your hot spots are and where you really have a need for growth or for preservation, either way, and get your citizens to come in and get the local jurisdictions to come in, make sure the zoning is correct, your comprehensive plan is correct, and then that way, if Connie Holland goes to live there and I want to live on 10 acres in Milford in the rural area, I can probably do that. If I want to have the walkability of being close to the economic hub, I will have that predictability. You won't have to fight with DLDOT again because that intersection has already been planned out through the MPO, Metropolitan Planning. It's already in their tip and sip. The local jurisdiction has heads up on what they're going to need for infrastructure, for sewer and water. It's huge. It's the next step in planning to give your citizenry predictability. Nobody likes to buy a house or buy a business and not really know what's going to happen to them next to them. So this master planning brings all that out. It's hugely beneficial and it's time consuming, but we are doing it. It was done in Middletown for Westtown after Middletown experienced some growth without any really rhyme or reason, and they figured they needed to figure out where the schools, the infrastructure, the public services, all that were going to go. So they've done it. Newcastle County is master planning the Southern Corridor because they are, you might think you don't have anything in common, but you really do, because right down the center corridor, it should be commercial and they have ag land preservation. Sussex is so unique that you have almost like three counties. You have the beach communities that actually have been begging for this for some time, and you have the farming communities. Marty, you and I have worked together over the years. But within that, we also have some residents and some towns that need to grow and flourish. So it makes sure that every voice is heard. And it's too big to do on a county level, especially as big as Sussex County is. So within your comprehensive plan, you have delineated sub-regional areas. So it would be up to you as a planning commission and your council to actually talk to your citizens. I know the beach community. I know Lewis, Rehoboth, Dewey, all of them are very interested in how they affect each other and where the roads go and where the population goes and where's the hospital going to go and all like that. So it's huge, and it's a very, very good thing to do.
Well, mechanically, though, how does it take place? Who is the orchestra leader? Who's the referee? How does it? Because you've got all these groups with some diverging interests sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mechanically, how do you see it? How do you see it happening?
Well, mechanically, how it's working in Milford, for an example, is Milford actually took the bull by the horns. David Edgell, my circuit rider planner for Milford, is actually helping work through all the state agencies, which you ought to smile on that, because that's DENREC, DLDOT, housing. We give you all the resources we can there. We're actually working with the University of Delaware to make sure that we have more or less a pattern book on how this would be done. So that will be done by the end of the year, so we could certainly give that to Sussex County to use. So it's a collaborative effort. Milford has put some funds into it. Economic development with the state of Delaware has put some funds to it. We can't spearhead it, we at the state, but Brian, as a circuit rider planner, and he's any one person, would go in and help that sub-regional area with the help of the documentation that we're putting together through the University of Delaware is how this is done. And we're all players. We're absolutely all players. DLDOT has put a huge amount of money into this to get this master planning started, because it saves them money in the end. It actually does.
So there isn't a prescribed leader or builder of consensus. My concern is that when you get a group together, are you looking for some type of leadership to emerge, I'm asking a very basic question: who runs the process? Who does it?
Actually, the city of Milford ran the process with the help of the University of Delaware, and right. They did that free through a grant, and our planning office, the Office of State Planning. So it's a collaborative effort.
Right.
And the idea that Lawrence brought up of the MOU is positive, because that's what the MOU says, that we'll all work together. Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. You have to want to do this together. Who keeps it together is it's a coordination. David Edgell completely spends 2 or 3 days a week with the planner, with the city of Milford. I've actually helped out with those meetings. I'm the one that usually goes to DENREC or DLDOT or whatever. So it's a collaborative, it's an effort that's ongoing.
Right.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I have a quick question if I could ask. It falls on the heels of what you're asking. It seems to me that we're almost, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but talking about two different things, because sub-regional planning to me means within Sussex County you've got like sub-plans, mm-hmm. like there used to be years ago the Eastern and Western Sussex plans,
right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's still really Sussex County saying, all right, we've got different areas with different characteristics, so we should have different plans for these areas. That's one thing. It seems like what's almost different is intergovernmental coordination to come up with a plan for that area. And that leads to my question. It's more of a nuts and bolts one with regard to the statutes. What we end up with potentially, say we're talking about Eastern Sussex, we've got Lewis, Rehoboth, and I guess Dewey, and Sussex County with four different plans. I guess you could throw in Henlop and Acres too, five different plans that all expire at different times, that all have different requirements. How do you ever get on top of that a sub-regional plan that meshes with everybody else's individual comp plans? It just seems like you've got all these different things happening at once, and none of them would be consistent with each other potentially.
I think that's a pretty large area. When we talked about the beach area, I think it would have to be confined. The one in Milford is completely Milford with their annexation area. The one in Newcastle County actually took in Townsend, who experienced a ton of growth, a ton of annexation area, Odessa, Middletown. And so it was just, it's much easier when you carve just two or three out. And what they did, and you're right, their plans do expire, but it's seamless. It's we went up to the next level on, okay, where are your sewer districts going to be? Where are your schools going to be located?
This was primarily all within one jurisdiction, though.
No, not at all. This was Townsend.
It was an annexation, right?
That's what that sort of sounds like.
Sounds like Milford was an annexation.
Yeah, Milford.
It was all Milford.
You're correct. This is all Milford. But to relate it to how it would work for Sussex County, or could work because it's such a large county, is I would say only take two or three jurisdictions at a time. With the Newcastle one, Newcastle County had to be there because some of the areas had not been annexed in yet. They were still under the jurisdiction in Newcastle County, but they were in the plan to be annexed in.
Right.
Townsend was there because they had the huge annexation area. Odessa, very historical, didn't want to change. Might just wanted a little sliver, maybe like Lewis, wanted to keep that character, much like Lewis, but they had to be at the table. And then Middletown, we know of the boom in Middletown. Middletown's now really extending sewer for Newcastle County. Do you see where I'm going? The school districts absolutely loved it, and they actually got land from the local developers because we could figure out the population in that area. So we looked at schools, we looked at sewer, we looked at water. Ralph Reeve came with Carol Ann. We could figure out where the roads are going to go. We didn't do it. When you do it in a vacuum, especially in an area like that that you know is going to grow, and with those annexation areas, you're not able to connect the dots. We got ag land preservation. We had a big farmer up there that wanted to keep the value in his land, and he should have. And actually, Middletown used the transfer of development rights. It got to be his farm, but he put transfer of development rights in the Townsend area because some subdivisions wanted to grow and wanted more density. So it works. It absolutely does work because you're still staying in the confines of their rules and regulations of Middletown, Odessa, Townsend, and the county knew what was going to happen. They just took those parcels off their radar screen. They were there to make sure that it was in compliance with their comprehensive plan. And it works. Now, did we have some bloodletting fights up there? Sure we did, because one person would think that it should be ag land preservation. Another person would think it was a place to grow. But with these comp plans, it's much easier because their development plans are in there. If they want to grow, their annexation plans are in there. And where DLDOT has a problem, or DENREC for preservation, or the housing authority, or especially the school districts, it's easier for them to look at it holistically and at a larger range. And so, therefore, it helped the community. It has helped, I've had a lot of people in business come back, and they said that they felt that the process really worked for them because they knew that they had some stability for the next 5 or 10 years. That's how it was going to stay. We can't use this up in Kent County because we've been sued by Mr. Pardee, who's a dear friend too. He really is, but for overlay zone, you can't lose that. But it's an overlay zone for that area. So instead of just being a comprehensive plan, it's much more finite.
Connie,
yes.
We served together on the Land Use Planning Advisory Council for what? I don't know,
a lot of
six
years.
Years or something.
Yes.
And when the municipalities would come before us, every time that I recall, the counties were always there with them.
Right.
And one of the key things among the advisory council was, okay, how have you worked with the county? Demonstrate that you've worked with the county to coordinate your municipal plan with the county.
Right.
So I guess my question is how is this different than what is already being done?
It's when you do a comprehensive place plan, and you're right, any local jurisdiction that does a plan has to work with the county before it's certified.
And vice versa, too.
And vice versa.
We go out and talk to all
but it's not as finite. It's not as detailed. We really don't depict where the schools are going to go. We really don't get into where the roads are going to be improved. For Milford, it's a huge boost for them because there's an interchange that's huge to those people that live in that area. And it was like out in La La Land that it would happen, and everybody wanted to know, is it really going to happen? What's the timeline? You know, have we zoned properly around this interchange? And we've found in some cases we had, in some cases we hadn't. Now that interchange is in DLDOT's TIP and SIP and whatever, and will happen. So it brings it down, Marty, to not a level of a site plan like you all see here tonight, where this is exactly where this house is going to go on this property. But it does say this is commercial land, this is where an intersection is going to be. We have even changed some of the zonings because we are much more, we have much more ability with all the GIS, geographical information system that we have out, to say, you know, there's probably some changes we should make, because the comprehensive plan is like at 5,000 feet level. The site plan is right down to the parcel. This is in between. This is in between. I believe for Milford it'll be a huge benefit. I think for economic development, and I'm a native of Delaware. I want us to survive, and I don't want to give anything away. I think we have to do it as top notch as we can. But to get businesses, and please remember, gentlemen, only 2.5% of our land is actually zoned commercial. So when we did these site plans, we looked at that. We'd been through the residential boom. And I would venture to say, any of you businessmen in here, if you went to find a parcel, it might be really difficult for you. It may take you 18 months to 2 years to get the comp plan changed and then get the zoning plan changed in the local jurisdictions. With these master plans, you're looking closer at that, really looking at the services for that area. And many times it constitutes a better view than the comprehensive plan, a more realistic view of that. So it's a big planning effort, it is.
Bonnie, one of the issues we've run into in the past is with DLDOT specifically.
You sure have.
You tip your hand too soon, and then the easements, for some reason, the values seem to skyrocket, you know, because people say, wow, DLDOT's planning a road, and all of a sudden, you know, the games begin, it seems, and they get it gets pretty difficult. So the flexibility within the plan, and how do you do that with the road planning that you mentioned without running into that conflict of, you know, tipping your hand before you establish the easements and that sort of thing?
It's a fine line we walk.
We're out of money, you know.
I know we are. I hear it every day. Believe me.
In the past, we just wrote the check. No problem. We'll figure it out, you know. And the poor guy that wasn't business savvy, well, just unfortunately got the short end of the stick. We can't write checks anymore. We're out of money.
We're out of money. There's no doubt about it. I can say that Secretary Wicks and Ralph Reeb are probably the biggest advocate for this because of the predictability, because of the fact of trying to figure out where we are going to spend our money wisely and how this is done. And it is interesting, but we have found some cost benefit to it, especially for school districts and for the roads. DLDOT has just so much to pay, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, we just think this is much better than doing the site plans incrementally and not looking at the fiscal responsibilities. Of course, we go back to, Dennis has left, but, you know, we have levels 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And there's no doubt about it that each governor looks at it a different way. Level 4 is still completely ag land preservation, but I will say through this new state strategies, it does say that, you know, any business that has to do with agriculture would be receptive for that in that area. So I guess the best way to let you know, it's another planning tool to get the public involved. They never come out for the comprehensive plans. You and I know that. They just don't. They, you know, most citizens do not really know what's going to go next to them. But what we found out with this Milford master plan was that Milford did an excellent job of putting the word out, putting it in the paper. The people that came to this, we asked them to please be dedicated for at least 3 meetings. And they hated us at first. And they didn't realize how much land was out there, and they didn't realize the density was out there. And they asked me the same thing you are, Mr. Wheatley, Chairman Wheatley. Who's going to pay for this? And how's DLDOT going to pay for this intersection? And what happens to, are we going to ruin downtown Milford? And, you know, what kind of houses are going to be out here? And what are we going to do about ag land preservation? I had two farmers, and they said I could use their names, but I really won't. The one wanted to stay in business and one that wanted to sell. TDRs don't work statewide, but we have found out they do work within local jurisdictions because they have more control of it. And Milford has some money to... The state was going to give Milford, is going to give Milford some money, to seed money to start up an ag preservation. So when we were done by the third meeting, we had changed the densities very close to the infrastructure that DLDOT told Milford and has told them the last 3 meetings that I've attended will happen and given them a date. There's predictability for an educational facility that wants to come in that we hope will come in. We've had 3 or 4. First, we're hoping it will be educating our nurses within the state, but I'm not sure. But it will be a commercial area. We are even talking about the transfer of development rights from the farming community to be able to go back inside the city of Milford to keep it viable. And though it can't spread out because of the way it's laid out, it may be able to go up. It may be able to do floor area ratio for commercial to keep everything viable. And the key to this is predictability, being visible, getting the public involved one more time, and getting your community leaders involved. And infrastructure is just key. The reason we took this huge annexation in, and I went to the former governor and said this needs to happen, is the fire company in Milford told me they could not support that area, even though it wasn't their district. Fire and police have to take care of these situations when they happen. So they wanted them under their own jurisdiction. Lewis is a community to actually go to Mr. Johnson's concern, and Rehoboth that we've worked with very closely. And they are at this situation. They don't know if they want to annex and take control of that, but they are very worried about what's going to happen in the county. So, you know, it just makes sense to sit down and talk through this scenario. But that's completely up to you. It does. Lawrence and I have worked together. We were commiserating about that tonight since 1972 or 3. And a memorandum of understanding is paramount because you want to make sure that this master planning occurs and is viable and has an ending. You don't want it to start and stop. And we've had a lot of that in your beach areas of this county. We've had a lot of planning going on, but we haven't come to any conclusion on what to do. And I think that may be some frustration in the beach areas. And I see this coming down the pike. You looked at 6 or 7 extensions tonight. What are we going to do about the subdivisions that may expire? Banks hold this money. It's an economy. With these master plans, you may have the possibility of someone trading in a plan that's not quite as conducive and doing one that's better and staying whole and keeping our banks afloat, our county afloat, and our community afloat. So that's a scenario you just need to think about. It works. It's hard work. It takes a ton of intergovernmental coordination. Brian is here. He's actually working with Georgetown in an area which you probably know about. We're trying to make sure that we have the economic viability the counties need. And it is a good planning process, but you have to have the commitment of the Office of State Planning, the commitment of the county councils, the commitment of the jurisdictions. And any more than two or three local jurisdictions, you probably are going to lose out. I think you would maybe want to do the Rehoboth and Lewis together. I don't know how much further you'd want to extend it, but one time I heard it went the whole beach area. And I don't, it's just that, just in my humble opinion, would probably not work.
There was a southeast, and then there was a east, and then west.
Right.
And then there was a whole county
plan. Right.
But doesn't it require, though, to get to the point where you're doing the intergovernmental coordination as opposed to, like, the sub-regional plan? I guess to give the, it requires that you have to have the towns and the county or the different parties sort of marching to the same beat from the start, I think, because what we see as a commission frequently is what our comp plan says, what state strategies say, mm-hmm. which is everything needs to go towards these town centers, and the right. towns that say, no way.
They don't.
And so if you've got that from the start, it seems like you're almost butting heads immediately on trying to do sub-regional planning. I'm just wondering if that's been your experience or maybe...
Well, it hasn't because we started in the boom.
Right.
Of course, we're not now. Milford has seen the value of it because I just think it's a, thank goodness, it's a very wise community that knows that we will turn, you know, and they will be ready and they can give permits, hopefully, because many of them come from the state in 60 days. I think the key is, you're right, because I work with the University of Delaware through the IPA, the public administration. And I will tell you that one of the courses that we're teaching is making your communities whole and having complete communities and letting them know, please don't put your businesses, talk to your business community, figure out how to keep your community viable. Shutting down and saying you want no more development doesn't help at all. I'm going to tell you of a little town in Dover, in Kent County called Cheswell. They took a lot of subdivisions in and they thought it was going to make them rich. Well, it didn't. You know, the boom went. So they were frightened of development. Actually, my circuit rider planners went in there and working with their local jurisdiction on changing some of those areas to commercial, telling them how to get their community viable again. And that's what you need. They cannot be afraid of development anymore because if they're going to retain their government, they have to have a tax base and they have to have a place where people want to live. And those people that are there that came during the boom, they still want the services. They want the snow shovel. They want the policeman. They need you need a really good building inspector. You know, who's going to man the offices? So we're trying to go back in these communities. The mayor of Smyrna, Delaware, she's a friend of mine, but she said, Connie, I think all I want now is 5-acre zoning. I said, oh, mayor, you don't have 5-acre zoning in the town. You really don't. I mean, it can be concentric and you go in, but that's a huge waste of land. What don't you like? Well, I don't like that all that sea of tan houses that are there. I don't like townhouses. I said, you don't like the design. We can work through the design, and you can pick the best designs in Smyrna that you want replicated, and the developers are willing to do that. And they are in this day and time, even though it's terribly, terribly hard to get started. The type of houses that are selling now are workforce housing. And I know that that's a terrible word we can't say, but it's the people like myself that work for a government or serve you in the Rite Aid or serve you at where you have breakfast, and we need to give these people houses. And they do not have to be ugly. So we have to figure out how to work that out. And it comes out in the master plan. That's what's going to come out in Milford's master plan, too. What are the best scenarios in Milford? Good in downtown Dover and downtown Milford, what do you like? And one of these big houses, huge houses, is beautiful. It's not a house. It's a sixplex. And so, therefore, maybe while I'm going to college or when I retire, I could live there. So it's education and trying to figure out how to get the best into your community that you can get.
Have you had an experience where there was a municipality and the county government, and then all of our friends from the state, I know, are playing essentially supporting roles because they're not... they don't have that's not their bag.
Sure.
But the thing that concerns me is that if we are master planning an area where there are two jurisdictions, Okay, there is municipal land or town lands, and there are county lands. Mm-hmm. And when this planning is when this master plan is pursued, in the end, it seems to me that Milford worked because it was all Milford's land. They annexed everything, from what I hear you saying. But what happens if that's not what happens?
I think probably what is in the back of your mind is I do remember Lewis and Rehoboth came to Sussex County and said, we'd like to do a, quote, sub-regional plan, and we want to be able to have a vote. We don't condone that. We don't think that's the way to go. This master plan is done with Odessa and Townsend and Middletown and the county all staying within their own realms. The only time it changes is when one of those local jurisdictions annexes something in from Newcastle County, right. And then it's under their jurisdiction. So it's just more the county, in that case, having a voice that, no, we don't agree to that. We're not going to give you that service, or we have an objection to this because of A, B, and C. But no one's vote it's a coordinated planning effort, but it's not usurping any of your power. It's more information to know what the local jurisdictions, to say Rehoboth and Lewis and the county, would be doing.
I might add to that, Chairman, you're actually kind of doing this right now in some extent to the county in relation to the concern you raised. And one of the master plans that's being discussed in result to the Chesapeake Bay Initiative that we've all been privy to here recently is within Seaford Blades in Sussex County. And you may or not be aware that, of course, Mike Izzo and his shop are slowly working to evaluate that Seaford Sanitary Sewer District because of the impacts associated with the bay, the potential limiting of that permit, and also realizing that the area of Middleford, Sand Hills, Nanticoke Shores, Nanticoke Estates, all of these are older homes on half-acre lots with older septic systems.
Right.
So one of the aspects that has been proposed as part of that is to build upon that sanitary sewer agreement, bearing in mind that Seaford does want to grow. Blades does want to go, and at the same time, we have to be able to provide for that very basic service of sewer and water for those residents that may not be able to get DENREC permits for future septics, as well as the existing package plants that we've had the privilege of experiencing with that are owned by Brian Hall Incorporated and may not be maintained by the county or by a major public utility. Those are the things that we're going to have to go in and balance to see where we can grow, how we can grow, and then, more importantly, phase the necessary costs of the infrastructure, because that's what, as Connie has alluded to repeatedly. So, when looking at that, we are going to be confronted with that very same situation. That's going to require not just the sanitary sewer agreement, but going back and looking at these memorandum of agreements to allow for growth so that it's balanced growth and everyone is continuing to be able to move forward.
Does the master plan acquire the same force of law that your land use plan has?
Yes. Yes. Okay. It's an overlay zone, really.
Okay.
That you all, yes.
So it's an overlay zone that the county and the towns would jointly or would separately adopt.
Yes.
But
part of each of your plans, but you'd be
right.
Whole Sussex
right.
County and.
But I know that folks worry about their jurisdictions, they don't want their power usurped and all
right.
that. And I get all that.
Right.
What I'm more concerned about is how it will mesh and how it will actually work in real life. Mm-hmm. Nothing doesn't seem like there. Much good comes that isn't difficult. So I mean, it's not surprising that it would be difficult. And I don't know of any circumstances where not talking to people is a benefit.
Right.
I mean, we need to be doing that, I think. But just in trying to work this out as to how it would actually happen, I'm just trying to get fixed in my mind what the mechanisms are. So each jurisdiction that is involved adopts their part of this?
Yes.
They're part of the master plan.
It's like Lauren said, the MOU, that every MOU that I've ever signed, it was with the local jurisdictions. It was, had dealt out DENREC.
And it's an agreement that each entity will do certain things.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And that really becomes the, I hate to use the word governing, but it becomes the guiding document that under which all these things happen. And then everybody uses their own system, their own ordinance, whatever, to accomplish their part of it. Is that how that works?
Yes, and okay. There's no doubt that it should be a supreme benefit to Sussex County or anybody that does it for your fiscal analysis, because I've worked with Mr. Izzo. He's very sharp, really good guy.
Well, I mean,
you'd want to know where your sewer was going to go. Things change. Nothing stays constant, and you don't want to be spending millions of dollars if, in fact, it is more finite planning for that.
If we created a sub-regional planning area, and let's just use it for example, Lewis, Rehoboth, Dewey, Henlopen, because Lewis is more out than Rehoboth, Henlopen, and Dewey. Technically, they're out several miles.
Right.
But if we did one together, and so it was those four incorporated areas plus the county, and we agreed and came up with a document, then each one of those agencies or towns and the county had to go back to state planning,
right,
go back through the process to amend our land use plans for each one of those sub-regional districts.
And that's what I was getting at. And then you have those four that are all on different time frames, that, you know.
Yeah, each one a different time frame.
Well, but if they each one
is doable, but
yeah, I was going to say it's doable. If each
it's doable because we're always in the planning process.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
when I started,
yeah, you're always doing it.
Yeah,
I mean, we're,
the 20-year plans are kind of out. They're, you know, it's 5 years, and as I get older, I blink, and 5 years are gone.
Well, that's what we
and
say too.
You started every 3 years.
Connie, in effect, we do that. I mean, the whole default is, for example, and I don't know the dates of Lewis and Rehoboth comprehensive land use plans. I don't know if they coincide. Or if they're separate, I maybe you can remember, but basically we do that individual municipality, and when they're 7 or 10 miles apart, great. You don't need a sub-regional plan when you've got communities that are 7 miles apart. When you have communities so close, like Lewis and Rehoboth and Dewey, well then, you know, really the best way to do that is not worry about some remaking the wheel. It's just simply coincide those three municipalities so that they're doing their comprehensive plans in the same time frames. And then it automatically happens. It will happen because if those three municipalities work with the county and those three municipalities are all working with the county at the same time, in effect, you've got some sub-regional planning. The issue, and we mentioned this, you know, I guess previously when we were talking about actually having this conversation, you know, and I mentioned that, just that fact, that, you know, the municipalities all are on different time frames, and it's necessary because state land use planning office, the counties only have so much staff. If we did them all at one time, we'd be dead.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
no,
so,
that wouldn't work.
You know, so that wouldn't work. But, you know, what I'm suggesting is instead of having, you know, this word or whatever, you can simply make it occur by looking at the schedule and location of towns and just adjusting that. And then it just happens. It's not a big deal. And
now, Rehoboth just finished there, so I don't know how.
To speak to Rehoboth, Lewis, Henlopen, and Dewey, Rehoboth, Lewis, and Henlopen are all within a year of each other.
Right.
Rehoboth just recently was certified. Lewis is actually slightly behind. They would be much closer to Rehoboth right now, but they're late getting started. Henlopen is in the same situation. They'll be starting this January as well. So they're within roughly 6 months to a year of one another.
And what other municipalities, Brian, do you have running concurrently with them? Laurel, Greenwood, what other, do you have any other municipalities running in the same?
Concurrently or similar, actually with what we mentioned a little bit ago, the Seaford Blades are within about 18 months of each other. And in fact,
I meant like, for example, do you have Seaford running concurrently with Rehoboth and Greenwood running concurrently with Lewis? Is there a way that you can condense those so that they're actually running concurrently, you know, from one side of the county, or not, by adjusting
speaking,
your timelines?
Well, speaking as the circuit for Sussex, I've looked at it basically by, we have three central roads, And I've worked with the, tried to work religiously with the local jurisdictions for those within the 13 corridor to be on similar time frames.
Tracks.
For 113 to be on similar
time. So you're doing basically
frames.
What you can within the resources you have to keep them running concurrently.
Right. The challenge is I'll use Millsboro recently kind of threw a monkey wrench into that with their most recent update, which was translated into a full rewrite based on their large annexation proposals. But if I were to go down the road right now, all of them on 13 are within a year to 18 months of one another. So they are.
Well, Connie, as you know, I mean, the two issues that we have is the more predictable we try to make a plan, the less flexible it is. And so that brings its own set of problems. And then the big gorilla in the room is always property rights and, you know, and people saying, well, wait a minute, you know, and this is where we get pushback. And it's why we are where we are here today. You know, I mean, it's why we have the system and the zoning rules and ordinances we have today. And it's always a controversial thing. And the reason that we don't have a lot of people attending the public hearing is generally we can satisfy the masses. But it's that 10 or 20 property owners around a municipality that you can't satisfy because you're really creating the winners and losers. And we've been here, since, I don't know, forever, as long as I can recall, shaving down for a future. I mean, you know, it's been 20-some years that we this big gorilla is there. So, I mean, the land use planning thing and the sub-regional planning, whatever you want to call it, the whole thing, it all makes perfect sense. Until you get down where the rubber meets the road and you got a color here and a different color there and somebody got whacked.
I hope I can change your mind with Milford, because this is a wonderful time to plan. It's a horrible time for us economically. But with the Milford, we were very cognizant. I have the scars on my back. I think one says Marty
too.
Ross right here.
No, I don't think so. I don't do that.
No,
don't do that.
No, you do it on the front. You're good. You tell me.
Right.
You tell me how you feel, and I appreciate that. And it's not completely done yet, so there will be changes, but it was, the times have changed, people's thoughts have changed, it will give the predictability, the flexibility to know where the economic development could go and where the houses can go, and given the take from the farmers in that community of Milford, I'm extremely proud of. And one was very much, I want to stay in this forever and ever, and the other one was, you better get me top dollar for my land. And I don't blame him at all. I do understand that concept. And with the rules and regulations they put together, that can be accomplished in Milford. Will there be issues, individual issues? I'm sure there will. But this is the best planning I've ever seen in the state. They still have public meetings. We've had several public meetings. We will continue to have public meetings, and I'm sure there'll be somebody that comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, I didn't know my land was part of that, but Milford's done a really good job of sending it out to the landowners within those areas and making sure that everybody's involved. But I think we're in a different time. I think people do want predictability. I do think people are more cognizant of the need for services and commercial, and I'm not saying a big box, something that we don't want,
right.
But we are trying to build complete communities, and this kind of helps. But you know, the person that recommended this to me said, get ready to have a bloodlet, because people don't understand this right away. They need to be part of it. I think when you give people a venue to talk, like you've just said, Mr. Wheatley, and be part of it, then at least they've been heard.
Well, that's what I was what I'm thinking is a couple things. One is that even though we're in difficult economic times, now is the time, because
the
activity is low, people's expectations are in a place where they maybe are perhaps a little more realistic about what you can really expect. We all like to think that the property that we own is worth worth a lot of money,
right?
And because it is to us, and hopefully but the market always sets the price,
right.
So I mean there's a real opportunity I think for us to, if we're going to do this, I think now's the time. And there has to be something for everyone in this. And that's why it's, to me, we have to get the stakeholders to the table. The big landowners and so on have to be involved in the process. And we need to find a way to some extent to accommodate everybody's everybody's needs, and that's what I know is difficult. Yes. But certainly worth trying. I think, of course, this is not the group that needs to be convinced.
I know.
although we do need to understand it, I would hope that County Council, if they decide to get behind the concept, would ask us to represent them in it.
You are in charge of the comprehensive plan, and the timing is wise, I think it's really, really worth a try. And Brian's been doing a lot of it down here in the environmental issues, as he's explained to you.
What I would like us, and I want you guys, this is something I think we need to talk about, is we need to maybe try it somewhere. You need to try it out. Pick an area, do something. I mean, if County Council will, I think County Council needs more from us than just, hey, this is a good idea. I think we need to let them give them the benefit of our impressions of what Connie's had to say to us, and how if we think it's a good idea, how we think the best way to move ahead with it might be, and then leave them with that information, and then they will have to take our direction from them.
I think that's extremely wise to do a test case.
I have a question. You made reference that the University of Delaware was trying to establish a process, and you said they were getting close.
They are doing that. We paid them for that. They're
getting close to getting.
Yes, should have it in January.
So within the next month or two, that'll be available if it's approved.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm working with the Delaware Board of Realtors to do a pattern book. And the pattern book would be like you would go to the towns, and that's what they're going to do through the university and through the realtor. Actually, we need publications from the National Realtors now. It's preaching. You think it's an American Planning Association book, because they're realizing that the housing and the commercial needs to go together, and we need to have these communities.
Yeah.
So they're right on board with us. So what we hear people really don't like is usually what they see with their eyes that they don't like. So if, in fact, it can be aesthetically pleasing to the community and boost it up, that's what we'll do. So it wouldn't be rules and regulations. It would be, do you like this picture? Kind of like Ed McMahon when we brought him down. You remember him, Marty, years ago with Livable Delaware. He had a great way, he just threw the picture up. Do you like this? Do you like that? Well, I like that. Well, that's the rules and that's the regulations you have to have to allow that. It could be helpful.
Well, and it's been taken the next step already. Some of the local jurisdictions have already asked for that, and we're utilizing what has come as a result from the Katrina rebuilding process in Louisiana and Mississippi with a project called Louisiana Speaks. And that incorporates what we're trying to do now as the pattern book, but it goes the next step and creates the toolkit. And ultimately, the end goal, as Connie alluded to, is perception. And with the toolkit, it lends these local jurisdictions for expedited review from the standpoint that an individual comes in, and if he proposes industrial uses, then you have an already pre-established selection that the individual can choose from. If he chooses from those, including a site pattern, design, ultimate landscape, etc., then the individual is given the opportunity to go through a more simpler review because you, the individuals, the commission and council, have agreed upon that already.
And the people in the area are aware.
Mm-hmm. In contrast, though, with both local jurisdictions, or both states have set up the process, too, where you still have the right, under property rights and under your vested rights as a landowner, not to do that. But what it does remove from you then is what Connie's spoken to religiously, is the availability of resources. You lose that potential for expedited review, and also some of the things that might be available for easier access for road improvements, infrastructure, are not vested to you. So it still says you can build it, but it's going to be a lot harder and potentially a lot more difficult.
probably more than you wanted to hear, but.
No, I'm very.
My bedtime.
Yeah, well, listen.
I thought you said that.
I appreciate, and I'm sure everybody up here does, the fact that you drove an hour, sat 2 hours, shared with us for 45 minutes, and now you got to drive another hour.
Well, I want to apologize about the fire company comment, because the fact of the matter is, I do love the fire companies, and I know how much they saved, and I just wanted to tease Dennis that he hadn't read the fine print.
Well, that's good. He needs that, too. I think he needs that.
I wanted you all to know as a commission that right. It is in there.
Good.
Good deal. Essential services, right. We got to have.
The good news, Connie, is you raised Dennis's favorability rating, and he still failed. So,
sir.
Just to close, what I handed out to you is our one-page fact sheet that explains master planning. Hopefully, it will help to make a little sense. In reference to the two thing, or the other aspect that you referred to, Mr. Chairman, is, you know, do we have a potential project? You've already heard me reference the sanitary sewer district for Seaford Glebe County. We are, in fact, currently right now working with the town of Georgetown on what is the area within and around the airport. That is moving forward and has made some very positive headway. I'll be meeting with Mr. Baker on next Thursday to talk about that and to see if we can begin to work with the county to begin to discuss some possible buy-in in that regards and see how we can also amend that process to meet the county needs as well.
Wait, let me ask one question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Is there a time limit on this, like the comprehensive plan? You're looking at the airport. If somebody else comes in on the other side of Georgetown, does that fire up another?
What we've actually done for Georgetown has kind of been a whole kind of greater area of Georgetown. So there's actually three different locations, what is north and east, south and east, and then west of 113. How it's ultimately implemented becomes the decision of the local jurisdictions. Do you want to do it all, or do you just want to do a portion of it?
Do they expire in your anticipation?
They would. What we envision is they continue on with the life of the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
So, you know, as that plan expires, you know, okay.
Thank you, sir.
Dan had a question.
You want to drive Miss Stacy home because they want to go to sleep?
Well, I know Marty.
Sorry, Brian. I just got back from a
business
trip. He's
the expert.
Fine, you're all
talking. He really is.
Yeah. You're on what, Tahiti time or
retirement time?
Retirement time. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you both very much for being with us.
Thanks, Brian.
Anytime.
Thanks, Connie.
Thank you,
gentlemen. Anything else you want to? Yep. Mr. Johnson, you're awfully quiet there.
They were doing plenty of talking, and that actually what they're talking about, the master planning piece and maybe some formalization was beyond the scope of what they were talking about at that meeting. But certainly that would be a nice outcome. But
yeah.
I think the idea there more was just a meeting of the bodies and a sharing of information, of ideas. It wasn't designed to come up with this master plan that we'd have all the jurisdictions signing off on necessarily, although that certainly would be a meaningful outcome. Of that.
Well, I think it all has to start with that first.
How do you do?
First meeting, just talking about it. And right. If we're just talking about it, I don't see how that would be threatening to anyone. I mean,
right, because it's not like we're going in with a set idea that we're going to create a document for the county
but
council has to sign off.
Talk about working together.
Talking about working together. What issues and concerns they have? Yeah. What issues and concerns we have? How they overlap? And maybe sharing ideas how these issues can be approached.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Anyone else want to weigh in? We do have hearings to refer back to here when we get done.
Well, it's something we need to digest, and we need to also approach the council. And see
absolutely. It's up to them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen without them.
It's good that we have this time.
Okay.
I mean,
and as you said earlier, it looks like we may have quite a bit of time later on.
I think we will, and I think that's how we should use it. That's right.
I had a call another night.
Okay, referring back to our public hearing.